I'm sorry to tell you, friends, Mr. John Rosier is not able to be with us as his asthma has come on today. But instead, Mr. Adrian Pickett has kindly agreed to preach for us this evening. May the Lord be with his dear servant in his affliction. Remember us as we gather and help Mr. Pickett in preaching to us. Our first hymn is number 1086. I'll read the first verse and then we'll commence at verse 2. Peace, my complaining, doubting heart, ye busy cares be still. Adore the just, the sovereign Lord, nor murmur at his will. Hymn 1086, verse 2.
Read together from the sacred scriptures the word of God, reading from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. The first epistle of Peter, reading chapter 1. 1 Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, of silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for ever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth for ever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Most holy and most gracious Lord God, do help us to come before thee now, as we are found gathered together this evening in thy name, to worship thee, to seek thy gracious presence here. And oh, may we prove, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. O Lord, what will our little assembly be without thy presence here? But dear Lord, do come. Leave us not to mere duty, to form, to traditions. But O Lord, may we know that true worship. And favour us, Lord, with thy blessed Spirit. O come, thou north wind, and blow thou self, blow upon this garden. May the spices yet flow out to thy honour and to thy glory. Should there be found anyone here tonight yet dead in trespasses and in sins, without hope, without God, or maybe satisfied with a lamp of profession, satisfied with an outward show, and yet no spiritual life within, Lord, call them by thy grace. O awaken and quicken, and may such be born again, born by the blessed Spirit. O Lord, do bring souls into concern, that they're never dying souls, and a never-ending eternity. How stands the case, my soul, with thee? For heaven are thy credentials clear. Is Jesus Christ thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Do remember those brought into concern, who would be found seeking Jesus, and who long to know him as their Lord and Saviour, their Redeemer, their Good Shepherd, their Friend, their Counsellor, their Great High Priest, their Advocate with the Father, their All and in All. Dear souls longing for that revelation, O, when wilt thou come unto me? That wonderful promise, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. Dear Lord Jesus, do come and manifest thy favour. O, grant that glimpse of thy dear face. O, come, Lord, take that veil away and show thyself. And O, Lord, that we may hear thy voice. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And grant us that gracious discernment to discern the voice of the Lord. And oh, though it be a still small voice, may it enter in, and may it have that gracious effect. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. Remember, dear souls, blessed are that good hope through grace. And those souls who have been enabled to say that my beloved is mine, and I am his, to feel, to know that all is well for time and for eternity. Oh Lord, may there be a blessing tonight. May there be a portion for our souls tonight. Lord, thou knowest all about the changing circumstances. We would remember one who had engaged to be here, but now unable to come. Lord, remember him. Grant to him healing, restoring mercies. Sanctify these things unto him, and do abundantly bless him. And oh Lord, how we prove in our lives the many changes, many things we have not expected, not anticipated, and yet have come to pass. And we've been singing in our opening hymn of thy sovereign will, and what grace we need to bow to thy will, the will of the Lord be done. So, Lord, do remember us as we gather here on this very hot summer's evening. We pray that the heat may not prove to be a distraction to dear souls. Oh, lift us above all these things and grant that sweet sense of thy presence. Lord, that's the heat we would know. Did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us by the way and opened to us the scriptures? That heart burning, hearts being touched. Oh Lord, do come and do us good. Thou knowest all about everyone here and others who may be listening. The way that we take the path appointed, things that we are called to pass through to endure. We would remember any who are struggling, any who are bowed down, any who are tempted and tried and wonders where the scene will end. And wonders why these things must be. Those struggling perhaps with the will of God. Oh Lord, do send help. And remember such. Remember any in trouble, soul trouble, providential trouble. Those in difficulty, those in need. Those who walk a lonely pathway. Those who are sad. We pray for widows and widowers, comfort their hearts. Oh Lord, do remember each and every one. We pray for the young people. Bless them with thy holy fear. Call them by thy grace. And may they be manifest as the children of God. Oh, do keep them in this evil day. Remember, dear parents, and grant much grace and wisdom to bring our children up aright. We pray for all in the midst of life. And Lord, those who are in employment, in business, and those at home, oh, do grant much help and wisdom and grace in all things to be attended to. Remember older friends also, more senior years, as the grasshopper becomes a burden. Lord, may they prove thy faithfulness, and do uphold and strengthen them. We would remember those unable to be here, any laid aside in affliction, and sickness, infirmity. Lord, do remember such and go to them. Remember those caught up in employments, those at home with little ones and children, those who may be away at this time, remember them. Lord, and bless his cause of truth. And may they yet prove here that thy spirit remaineth and work mightily in the midst. And let thy work appear again and again and again to the honour and glory of thy name. Bless the church with peace and harmony, unity, prosperity. Remember the officers of the church and grant to them much grace in the office that they hold. Help thy servants and minister here from time to time. May they come as sent of God with that word from the Lord, that glorious gospel to be preached. And oh, may the Holy Spirit apply that word. Remember Zion. Remember the churches. Remember all thy true sent servants. Be pleased yet to raise up others. What a great need there is at this time of correspondence. Oh, send forth more labourers, we pray. Remember our guilty land and nation. Oh, we would be so thankful for many mercies as we witness the ingathering of another harvest. Lord, we have much to be thankful for and all thy great goodness. But all the sins, the iniquities, the wickedness, the abominations, the idols, the graven images, the nation that has forsaken God. Oh, have mercy upon us, we pray. And do mercifully appear concerning the appointment of a new Prime Minister in time. Oh, may this prove to be of thee. One, Lord, at the very least, who seeks to do that which is right in the sight of God. Oh, Lord, we look to thee. Have mercy upon the nations of the earth. We pray for peace. Oh, Lord, do mercifully appear in those war-torn lands and turn back the oppressors. Remember thy people caught up in these things and be that wall of fire round about them. And bless them, Lord, we pray. So again, we would be thankful for every blessing and every favour. Do help us through this service, and may it be noised abroad that Jesus is in the house. Pardon and forgive our every sin. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 965. Tell us, O our best beloved, where thou feed'st thy tender flock, where they rest at noon discovered. Shelter us beneath that rock. Let no idol e'er divide us from thee, Lord, in whom we live. By thy loving counsel guide us, and our souls at last receive. Hymn 965.
Oh,
the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help. I direct our prayerful attention to the chapter that we read together, the First Epistle of Peter, chapter 1. And really, they were laid upon my spirit, these five words, beginning of verse 7. The trial of your faith. The trial of your faith. I'll read the whole verse. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The First Epistle of Peter, chapter 1, from verse 7, but especially these words, the trial of your faith. And really, dear friends, it's a wonderful thing if these words are applicable. We may shrink from them. We may fear them. Or they may come before us as trouble. Things we'd rather not pass through and endure. But the thing is, your faith, if it be of God, is the faith of God's elect. It is a most glorious grace granted to every child of God, and only to the child of God is granted that faith of God's elect. It's that saving faith whereby we believe, and believe to the saving of our souls. No faith, no heaven. But blessed with that faith, it may be but a little faith. And it may be a great concern to some here tonight if we have that true faith, that living faith, that saving faith. Well, faith very simply is to believe. And not just to believe in as much as one can say that they believe, but as we have it in the Hebrews, that without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of all those who diligently seek him. Now that's faith. It's that coming unto God through the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in him, seeking diligently him. Notice those words. Seeking diligently. You lose something of little importance, you may seek for it, but not really diligently, you can soon give up. You lose something of great importance, and then we find you seeking diligently. You've got to find it. You've got to find out where it is. You've got to retrieve it. You've got to have it back. And you wouldn't give up. So there is that seeking diligently. Well, how much more so when the Lord teaches his people their need of the Lord Jesus Christ and to find him. Then under the influence of God, the Holy Spirit, we find a seeker. And by the stirring up of the same Holy Spirit, we find a diligent seeker. No child of God as a seeker is content to be a seeker. Yes, a blessed thing to be a seeker, a good thing, a right thing to be a seeker, but oh, to be a finder. Again, that important thing you've lost, you're not satisfied in seeking for it. However diligently you may be seeking, you want to find it. Then you're satisfied. Well, again, how much more so concerning the things of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, to find him. We have it twice in the Song of Solomon. Once at that first beginning, the second time after a backsliding, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I just dwell a little on a thought there. And how is it with you, whom my soul loveth? Because the Lord will bring all of his people to love him. There will be such an attraction in the Lord Jesus Christ. And loving him, one is drawn to him. And in seeking him diligently, it is because that soul loves him and must find him. Oh, does it have an echo in your heart? I sought him whom my soul loveth. Truly loveth. That spiritual love unto the Lord Jesus, even in that need of him, in seeking him. Well, I sought him whom my soul loveth, but I found him not. I wonder if there are some here tonight, some listening tonight, and that finds an echo in your heart. I found him not. And it may be you've been seeking for some time, but still no finding. And now you're becoming very troubled, very concerned. Will I ever find him? And now that great fear, perhaps I'm not a child of God. Perhaps I do not have that real faith. Then I shall never find him. And that temptation, oh, how it comes in. Well, give up. Give up. And at times even a child of God has such a temptation to give up. There seems to be no hope. But the Holy Spirit will never permit a child of God to give up. Or they may feel to be shut up and cannot come forth. They may feel to be like the psalmist, I am ready to halt. They may fear that there is no hope for me. But how the Holy Spirit so works in the heart that against hope, they believe in hope. And still they see. Although they feel to be upon the borders of despair, though they're so tempted, yes, and tried. You see, this is a trial of faith. This is a trial of your faith. Dear seeking soul, longing soul, burdened, praying soul, this is a trial of your faith. To prove it is the faith of God's elect. To prove it is what God has wrought. What have God wrought? Well, in the hearts of every child of God, that true living faith. The Apostle Peter begins the following epistle, the second epistle, writing to those who have obtained like precious faith. What a wonderful thing to obtain like precious faith. That true faith. That believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, that believes in the Word of God. Well, here he writes to these strangers scattered throughout those various regions, strangers to him in the flesh, but there was that bond, that spiritual bond. As the children of Zion, as the people of God, those who had also obtained like precious faith. And he mentions in this chapter four things concerning faith. That faith that the child of God is blessed with. Now, first of all, although we do not read the word literally faith, in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. The beginning of faith. The beginning of that work of grace. Oh, those very beginnings where the Holy Spirit enters in, hath begotten us again. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. There is no alternative. It is absolutely vital. Every soul that gains salvation must and shall be born again. is it our concern to know for sure, not to take it for granted nor to presume, but to know for sure that we have been born again, quickened by the Holy Spirit? Do we long for those evidences of being born again, begotten us again, well, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead? Now, those souls who are born again, a blessed spiritual life, was one very clear evidence spoken to Ananias concerning Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Ananias didn't know that. Indeed, many didn't know that. I believe Saul of Tarsus, as he then was shut away in his room upon his knees, begging for mercy. Behold, he prayeth. He was found there, what he would later write of to the believers at Philippi: let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's faith. That's faith, coming before the Lord in prayer, in the closet, upon your knees, begging for mercy. Or that's faith in God, believing that God is merciful. We read here, the abundant mercy, according to his abundant mercy, have begotten us again unto a lively hope. A living hope. It may not be a strong hope, it may not be a firm hope, you may not even feel it to be a good hope, but a lively hope is a living hope. And all the time there's hope, there will be prayer. As soon as there's no hope, there's no prayer. It's like faith: where there's no faith, there's no prayer. But where there's prayer, there's faith. Where there's hope, there's prayer. We are saved by hope, coming before the Lord, hoping in his mercy. I find that a beautiful word. We have it twice in the Psalms. The eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. And those who hope in his mercy, like that publican, are praying to obtain his mercy. Again, does it find an echo in your heart? God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Well, there's faith. There's a beginning of faith. You see, there's a beginning, that faith given. Then, secondly, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith. The preservation. That faith that is given shall be preserved, that soul shall be kept. And how vital, how needful that soul is kept, because one cannot keep themselves. Again, it's a great fear to many a child of God, making shipwreck of faith. But no child of God will ever make shipwreck of faith. But that doesn't mean to say that the storm will not be raging. That will not mean that the waves will not be found pounding now into the ship. That doesn't mean that one may feel to be in great jeopardy. That doesn't mean that one's soul may come before the Lord begging, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Who are kept? Perhaps some of us at times struggle with the language of the hymn writer. He penned, didn't he, with Christ in the vessel, I smile at the storm. I think that's great faith. Some of the storms that some of us have had to pass through, and we really feared that it's going to make shipwreck of faith. We really feared that it's all going to be over now. Or we really feared that we were going to sink and rise no more. But to prove. Oh, what a blessed, wonderful thing to prove. Who are kept, not myself. Myself I cannot keep, myself I cannot save, but by the power of God, that almighty power of God that keeps his people. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, who are kept by the power of God through faith. through faith being given, through faith being maintained, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, complete it, bring it through unto the day of Jesus Christ. Through faith. You just think of Hebrews 11. You just think of those different characters there. Through faith. Through faith. I particularly like that what we read of Moses, that he endured, and oh, what he had to endure. But he endured by seeing him who is invisible. How did he see him who is invisible? By the eye of faith. As it goes on in chapter 12, it's looking unto Jesus, whom having not seen ye love, but seen by the eye of faith. It's looking up at such times, or at such times of despair, at such times of trouble, at such times of distress. Through faith, looking unto Jesus. Then one runs with patience the race that is set before them. As that faith is given, and that faith is increased, and that faith is maintained. You see, all the way through faith. Thirdly, then, really it's our text, the trial of your faith. But I just want to come to the fourth point, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith. Even the salvation of your souls. Now, let me ask you, what can be more important to you tonight than the salvation of your never-dying soul? I'm becoming increasingly concerned in this materialistic day and age in which we live. Even the people of God just seem to be so taken up in the things of this world, consumed by the things of this world. And I do fear that prayer is being neglected, reading and meditation. And you're saying to me, but I'm so busy, tell me about it. Yes, many of us live very, very busy lives, and I'm sure it's Satan making our lives so busy to keep us from God. That when at such times we would have quiet and times of prayer, then we're so tired, we're so weary. And oh, it's such a struggle. But the salvation of your soul, what can be more important? I've been very struck in reading quite a number of biographies, autobiographies, and the concern that these people had over their never-dying souls. Reading recently in the book, The King's Daughter, Henrietta Benson, I believe her name was, daughter of Bernard Gilpin. And when she was brought into concern of soul, oh, it was such a concern, and it remained in her. She was blessed with that good hope through grace, but it seemed daily that concern over the salvation of her soul. Her dear late mother, Henrietta Gilpin, and oh, when the Lord began that work of grace in her, she could see that need of a real religion. She had a never-dying soul. She knew that one day she must die. Then what? She said, I don't deserve heaven. I only deserve hell. Why? I'm a sinner. I have sinned against God. I have broken the law of God. But the Lord blessed her with that faith. Believing in the Lord Jesus. The end of your faith. The salvation of your souls. Well, really that brings us to our text. The trial of your faith will prove the reality of your faith. It's so often given within the context we have it here. More precious than of gold. Though it be tried with fire. And we know that gold and silver and other precious jewels, to prove them, to test them, to burn up all the impurities, all the dross. There's only one process, I believe it's the same today, and that's tried with fire. Got to go into the fire. That all that is not the pure gold or silver will be burnt up, will be destroyed. And that remains is the pure gold. Well, your faith, that faith of God's elect, that true living faith that the Lord has given, whereby his people believe in him. But then there's the flesh. I was thinking of a comparison earlier, John 15, the Lord Jesus there speaks of himself as the vine, and his people blessed with faith as the branches to bring forth that fruit to his honour and to his glory. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, no faith, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, faith, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Oh, how we have need of that purging. That purging, it's a trial of our faith, whereby the Lord will purge us. And remembering the vine we had, and certainly this time of year, the growth was so vigorous, it was almost a battle every day to keep back all that was necessary. It would keep putting forth new branches that would take away the goodness from the actual grapes, and more leaves. And every day, virtually, it was such a burden to purge it, to cut it back. Well, the Lord's dear people, oh, how they've got so much of the flesh, so much of the natural man. As I just hinted at earlier, in this materialistic day and age in which we live, and we can get so taken up in the things of this world. Well, I believe the Lord will so deal with his people. And in many ways, it will be the trial of your faith. In the last chapter of his first epistle, the Apostle Peter, he writes of two great powers that the child of God will know something of, really manifesting the trial of your faith. Now, the first power is an almighty power. It's the power of God. And he writes of the mighty hand of God. Now, if you and I are amongst the people of God, if we are blessed with that same precious faith, we will know something of that mighty hand of God. It will interfere in our lives. That mighty hand of God must humble. That mighty hand of God must lay the sinner low. That mighty hand of God must empty from vessel to vessel. That mighty hand of God must try the faith that he gives to all his people. That mighty hand of God, as the suggestion Peter sets forth there, you see, it's to humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Now, the flesh will never humble itself under the mighty hand of God. It will resist. It will struggle. It will kick against the pricks. It will try and get out. It will try and push that hand off. You know, a little child, and the parent must discipline it in one way. And a child tries to push a parent's hand away. And how the flesh, the old man of sin, tries to remove the mighty hand of God. But it's that faith, it's that new man of grace who sees the need be to be humble, to be empty, to be stripped, to be laid low, to be brought back, or to be purged, to be refined, or to be so dealt with as God's dealings with you, that mighty hand of God. Now, I don't know, there may be one tonight. And perhaps you're now thinking, with those things that have come upon you, those things affecting you, those things concerning or troubling you, you now see the mighty hand of God. And when we begin to see the mighty hand of God that he causeth it to come, like our opening hymn, that there's a purpose. So often we may wonder, why? Why has the Lord permitted this? Why has the Lord sent this? Why has the Lord allowed this? Many, many whys in our lives. Well, here's the answer: the trial of your faith. It's a trial of your faith. As Hezekiah also had the trial of his faith. And he said, by these things men live. Is the Lord maintaining that spiritual life? Is the Lord increasing that faith? Yes, we may think that we have no faith. We may think that all our faith is being burnt up, that there should be nothing left. That's a great fear. But it's a trial of your faith, wherein it will be proved that that faith is the faith of God's elect, the mighty hand of God. But then also he writes of another power, very different power, though very powerful, not all powerful. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he's as active now as he's ever been. At times appearing as an angel of light, to deceive, if it were possible, the very elect. And he seems to get very, very close at times. But then, if you will, to the other extreme, a roaring lion. And what a frightening sight is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And Satan, like this roaring lion, he sets upon the people of God. He goes for those who have that true faith of God. He seeks to destroy their faith, to cause them to make shipwreck of faith. One very clear example we have in Scripture, of course, is Job. And Job didn't know what happened when the sons of God came to present themselves before God, and Satan also was there, and how Satan accused before God Job, that Job was only serving God because the Lord had prospered him outwardly. Take these things away and he will curse thee to thy face. He is in thine hand, only touch not his life. Oh, the deep, deep mysteries of the sovereign will and purposes of God. And what Job had to pass through, what he had to suffer, what he had to lose. That roaring lion set upon him. He really wanted him to make shipwreck of faith. But the Lord maintained that faith, the Lord strengthened that faith. So Satan comes again in a different way, a different form of attack. Take away his health. Now he will curse thee to thy face. He is in thine hand. Only take not his life, touch not his life. And oh, what Job suffered in the loss of his health from head to foot, being covered with those awful boils that's so painful. Couldn't sleep at night, couldn't rest in the day. And oh, what he went through. But though he struggled, though he came at times to the borders of despair, though he felt non rejected by God, he would prove that underneath of the everlasting arms. Dear Job, in chapter 23, he's found in such a low place, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come unto his seat. And though he looks forward and backward, on the left hand, on the right hand, he couldn't find his God. Until the eye of faith pierced through those dark, dark clouds. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he have tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Although Satan comes upon you as a roaring lion, or in whatever way, resist steadfast in the faith. How do we resist Satan? I know in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress we have that battle with Apollyon, but remember the whole book is an allegory. But it speaks of that battle and what Christian used, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, that was his weapon. I know he had other weapons, but in that battle, really, apart from, yes, the shield of faith, I think he had a sword of the Spirit, the word of God, but that weapon of all prayer. I know it's in a hymn, I believe it's firmly founded upon Scripture, But Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. What an encouragement to pray. And Job was a man of prayer. The Lord turned his captivity when he prayed for his friends. The trial of your faith. So we have the mighty hand of God. We have Satan, the devil, attacking. But we have the Lord maintaining that faith. Now, in other ways, the Lord, what he calls his people through, and the trial of your faith, I just want to touch upon perhaps just two or three. It won't be long. The first one is unanswered prayer. I'm sure that touches a chord with quite a number here tonight. I cry and I shout, but all my prayer he shutteth out. Though Jeremiah said that in the Lamentations, it wasn't actually true, because the Lord didn't shut out his prayers. The Lord heard and received his prayers, and those answers would come. But you may feel also that the Lord is shutting out your prayers. You have these matters, these urgent pressing cases, and still there is nothing. And it's hard, isn't it? When we keep looking for answers, we keep praying, we go again 7 times, but there is nothing. Or do I have to keep praying? Yes, you have to keep praying. Still pray, for God will all explain. This is a trial of your faith. You see, there in Luke 18, where the Lord Jesus speaks of that widow woman, of the adversary and the unjust judge, and for all the wrong reasons he relieves her. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Doesn't end there. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? To continue in prayer, to go again 7 times, to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, to let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, to still pray. The trial of your faith. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Or when we feel to have so many unanswered prayers, and when to all sense and reason it just seems impossible, we may limit the Holy One of Israel, we cannot see how even God can provide, how God can perform. Oh, we're just so tempted to give up praying. Is that your temptation tonight? To give up praying. Oh, may the Lord grant you more grace to continue in prayer. You see, who can tell? Tonight might be the night when the Lord shall suddenly answer your prayer and appear for you and deliver you. Who can tell? But until then, the trial of your faith. Now, another great trial of faith is when the Lord appears to hide his face. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. But oh, do you feel the Lord is hiding his face? Things that you are passing through. And yes, similar to answer prayer, but you so need the Lord to appear. Oh, you so long for a touch, a blessing. Oh, you so long for the Lord to remember you in this matter. But you feel to be forsaken. You feel to be forgotten. You feel the Lord is hiding his face, he's not looking upon you. And you feel it's because of your sins. We have that, don't we, in Isaiah chapter 59. Again, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. That your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Well, then you say there's no hope then. Well, don't stop reading at verse 2. You carry on reading through the whole chapter, And you see how the Lord Jesus appears for his people. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and from them that turn from transgression in Jacob. Just think of Joseph. Oh, think when he was in great power. Think when his own brethren were coming to him, bowing down before him, and yet he tried them. He put them to the test. He wanted to see if they were truly repentant, truly sorry. He wanted to see if there was a real change in their heart. He hid himself from them. He didn't make himself known straight away. He hid his face. And to them he appeared as this great Egyptian, this great Lord. And they feared him. And oh, when Benjamin came, and the cup was put in Benjamin's sack, and as the brethren were going away, and the servant caught up with them, and the brethren could barely believe what they were hearing, and as he began with the eldest and looked in each sack, there was the money returned again, and finally in Benjamin's sack, there was a cup, and they had to return, and it brought forth, as it Judah's great confession. And Joseph could no longer hide his face, but have all the Egyptians, all the world put out, while he made himself known unto his brethren. You see, dear friend, he'll surely turn and smile again, nor shalt thou seek his face in vain. The trial of your faith. Then finally, when the way is hard, when the way is so trying, now, I'm sure almost all tonight have had a trying day with the heat in one way or another. It's been very trying. Well, that's not necessarily the trial of your faith. And one may come into trying circumstances in different ways. That isn't necessarily the trying of your faith. You see, it's when we have that faith in God, to believe in God, that he led us forth by the right way, that the Lord will provide, and no good thing shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly. It's believing in the word of God. It's having faith in God's faithfulness, faith in God's word. It's believing. But things seem to go wrong. Things seem to go ill. Comes to mind when Jesus constrained his disciples to go over the other side before him, and they obeyed, and they went, and it was now dark, and Jesus had not come unto them, but he saw them toiling and rowing because the wind was contrary. And it may be tonight you have contrary winds. It's not plain sailing, it's quite the opposite. Perhaps things have gone from bad to worse. Or perhaps things have become very difficult, very crooked. It's a trial of your faith. And what faith we need to trust in God at such times. Again, it's Job who said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And the dear psalmist, he knew much of a trial of his faith. Oh, when he writes concerning that trial, trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your hearts unto him. God is a refuge for us. A wonderful refuge to trust in him. I know what I'm speaking of at times when it's so hard to trust in God. We're so tempted, we're so tried, we're so confused, we're so perplexed, and oh, things seem to be so mysterious and things seem to be so painful. It's a trial of your faith. Remember, let us therefore run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. There's a key. There's a way to escape. It's looking unto Jesus, to keep our eyes fixed upon him, is looking off or beside. And too often, like Martha, we're careful and troubled about many things. Too often, like Peter, we're looking around at the wind and the waves boisterous. Like those disciples in that storm, they were looking everywhere, but to the Lord Jesus. Now, may the Lord grant us that simple yet profound faith to look to him. Now, it may be the trial of your faith, but the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. One word just comes to mind. I close with it. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple.
God willing, there'll be a reading service next Lord's Day in the morning, and Mr. Pickett has kindly agreed to preach in the evening for us. And Mr. Chapman will preach on Friday evening next week. Our closing hymn is number 886. I'll read the first verse, and then we'll commence at verse 2. I seek and hope to find a portion for my soul, to heal a feverish mind and make a bankrupt whole, a cup of blessing for the poor that's free and full and flowing o'er. Hymn 886, verse 2.
may the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.